So I'd like us just to take a moment and just to reflect upon what we just did in our worship together. In that worship session, we just had a time of prayer. We had a time of testimony. We had different people reading from different passages of Scripture. We had different styles of music. And I just think it's a great reflection of how we are diverse in the way we worship. We are diverse in our experiences. We are diverse in our backgrounds, and yet we are all united in our worship of the one true God. And that there are many different ways that we can worship God through song, through prayer, through the reading of Scripture. We had female voices that were worshiping the Lord. We had male voices that were worshiping the Lord. We had younger, we had older. We had all these different backgrounds lifting up the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think that was just a great picture of the unity in the midst of diversity that we have as a church. Now, our purpose as a church, as we have discussed the last couple of weeks, is really quite simple. Our purpose is to know Christ and to make Him known. That is the reason that God has created us as individuals. That is the reason that God has brought together His church, so that we can know Jesus better, fall in love with Him, experience the love of God, and then we can go out and make that love known to other people. Last week we began looking at some of the ways that we can know Jesus and make Him known, and we talked about some of our practices, and we talked about how as a church we know Jesus and make Him known by being devoted to prayer and by being devoted to giving. And we're basing our studies on the book of Acts, and I would ask you at this time to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Last week, as we talked about being devoted to prayer and giving, I also issued two challenges to our church. I challenge us as a church to make prayer a priority by attending our Wednesday night prayer service. I challenge you to be here and to pray with other Christians, to pray for physical needs, to pray for spiritual needs, to pray for the kingdom of God to grow, to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. I challenge you to make prayer a priority by being at our Wednesday night prayer service. I also issued a challenge in regards to giving, and I challenge you to give at least $10 more a month to the ministry of this church. If you currently are tithing, if you currently are giving, we are so grateful for that. Can you give $10 more a month? If you're here this morning and you've never tithed and never invested in the church in that sort of way, can you give at least $10 a month to the church? And the reason I picked that number is because if we have roughly 100 people here, if 100 people are giving $10 more a month to the church, that's $12,000 more that we can do ministry with over the course of a year. It's a very simple sacrifice that we can make to further the kingdom of God. So I issued some challenges to you last week in regards to prayer and to giving. And we're going to look this morning at two more practices. We're going to look at how we as a church need to be dedicated to the practice of learning, and we also need to be dedicated to the practice of going. And as we look at these two practices, I'm going to issue two more specific challenges related to the practices of learning and going. But before we dive into our scriptures this morning, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to speak to us during this time. Father, we thank You so much for loving us. We thank You so much for allowing us to come together and to worship Your name and to glorify You. I just thank You for what we just experienced through Scripture reading and prayer and singing. We were able to lift up Your name. Thank You so much for giving us that privilege. Father, as we come to this next phase in our worship service where we take time to look at the Scripture and to allow that Scripture to look back at us and to change who we are, I just pray that Your Spirit would speak to us, that Your Spirit would guide us, that You would help us to be people that live with purpose, that You would help us be dedicated to these practices of learning and this practice of going. Challenge us, make us new, bring us to unity, use us for Your glory. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's go ahead and read once again. We read it last week. Let's go ahead and read it again. Acts chapter 2. Verses 42 through 47. The scripture says, they, talking about the early church in Jerusalem, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we return this morning to this very dynamic, Spirit-led body of Christ that we find here in the early chapters of the book of Acts. They were a Spirit-led community seeking to put into practice the principles that Jesus had given to his first followers. Now, the church in Acts was not perfect. They made mistakes, just like you and I, but they also recognized that they could accomplish the task that God had given them only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see over and over again in the book of Acts that the various churches that are involved in this book are being led by the Spirit. They are being pursued by the Spirit. They are being empowered by the Spirit. And they are going forth, and even though they aren't perfect and they make mistakes, they are faithful to the task of knowing Jesus and making Him known. I believe that we can do the same. I believe that Hagerman Baptist can live much the same way. We, you know what? We're just like them. We're imperfect. We have faults. We have mistakes. And just like them, we are led and empowered and challenged by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who is at work in the church in the book of Acts is still at work in our lives today. The same purpose that they were given in the book of Acts, to know Jesus and make Him known, is the same purpose we have today. And so in our imperfection, we can embrace the perfect Christ, and we can go forth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone that we meet. And so we can do the same as we follow the Spirit's leadership, as we dedicate ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, and God can use us here at Hagerman Baptist to add to His kingdom. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Let's remind ourselves about that word devoted. That word devoted means they were faithful to the apostles' teachings. They persisted in the apostles' teachings. No matter what came their way, no matter what struggles, no matter what challenges, no matter what came up in their own lives and in the life of their community, they were dedicated to what the apostles had said. And this is why at our church here at Hagerman, we believe that one of our practices that we need to be dedicated to is learning. Just as the early church learned about the apostles' teachings and they learned about what it meant to follow Jesus, we need to be a people who are learning about Jesus. We need to be a people who are putting into practice the apostles' teachings. And so I want us to spend some time this morning talking about what it means to be devoted to this practice of learning. So it says in this verse that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. What exactly is that? What does it mean to believe in the apostles' teachings? Let's first of all talk about that word apostle. That's a word we sometimes use in church and we read in Scripture, but we might not exactly know what that word is all about. The Greek word apostle essentially means one who is sent out with an authoritative message. In fact, it could be translated super ambassador. They were ambassadors of Christ, endowed with a special message, endowed with a special authority to go out and to share His word with other people. In the book of Acts, and oftentimes in the New Testament, this word apostle generally refers to Jesus' original 12 disciples who had actually witnessed His death and His resurrection. But we also see this term applied to people like the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Barnabas. These were people who had a special gifting, a special calling to go out and share the message of Jesus, to plant churches, to lay the foundation upon which Christianity is built. So to be dedicated to the apostles' teaching is to be dedicated to this authoritative message about Jesus Christ, on what it means to believe in Him and what it means to follow Him. And so the early church was dedicated to this teaching of the apostles, dedicated to the teaching of these leaders, and we need to be dedicated to that as well. As we walk our way through the New Testament, what we find is this. The apostles' teachings included at least three different elements. As the apostles taught, the apostles' teachings included, first of all, what to believe about Jesus. what we should believe about Jesus. We should believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We should believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. We should believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, God's chosen that has been sent to die on a cross and rise from the grave to bring salvation. We should be taught that Jesus Christ is the one way of salvation. He is the one that we put our faith in so that we can find salvation from our sins. We also need to believe that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and one day he is coming again to make all things right. As we walk our way through the New Testament, we see the apostles teaching this, what to believe about Jesus. This is what we call doctrine. And we still need all of this today. We need right belief about who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. And so the apostles taught what to believe about Jesus. But not only that, the apostles' teachings included how to live for Jesus. You see, being a Christian is not just about knowing the right answers on a theology test. It's about living out the life that Jesus has given us. If Jesus is the Christ, if Jesus is the Savior, if he is the one way of salvation, how does that change the way that I live? And so the apostles taught their followers how to live for Jesus, how to share his gospel, how to meet the needs of their neighbors, how to meet the needs of people in their community, how to change their life from an old sinful life to a new life giving glory to Christ. And so they taught what to believe and what to live and how to live for Jesus. As we walk our way through the book of Acts, we also see that the apostles' teachings included the importance of sharing Jesus. Because if Jesus is the Christ, and he is the one way of salvation, and if he is the Lord of our lives and changing our very behavior, then we need to be people who are going out and telling other people about Jesus. And this is what I love in the book of Acts. The church can't shut up. The church can't stop talking about Jesus. In fact, the authorities try to stop it. They try to drown him out. And the apostles just keep saying, listen, we know what's true. We know who Jesus is, and we can't listen to you. We have to go and tell people. We can't shut up about this. We have to tell people about who Jesus is and what he means for each of our lives. And so all of these three elements were wrapped up in the apostles' teachings. What to believe about Jesus, how to live for Jesus, the importance of sharing Jesus. Now, early on in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, they didn't have written Bibles like you and I have today. They had no access to that. And so these teachings would have been passed down orally. The apostles would have orally talked about what they had seen, what they had experienced, and they would have passed on this teaching by word of mouth. This was a culture that was a oral learning culture. This is how they learned. They had very few written documents, and so they would have passed on these teachings accurately to their followers, and then their followers would have passed on those teachings accurately to the people that they told. But eventually, these oral teachings were written down. And it's this written down testimony that we call the New Testament. So when we as believers talk about being devoted to the apostles' teachings, living out what the apostles taught, we are talking about learning about the New Testament. Learning what the scriptures say about Jesus. Learning what the scriptures say about our lives. So if we want to be dedicated to the apostles' teachings, we need to be learning the New Testament. And I'm here to tell you, the best way to learn the New Testament, the best way to learn the apostles' teachings is with other Christians. We need one another. We need one another to learn what scripture says. Now, why is that? First of all, the New Testament was written to be read in the church. It was written by church leaders for churches. It was written to be read in the church. In fact, in the early church, illiteracy was very, very common. In the ancient world, very few people could read. And so when Paul would send a letter, say, to Galatia, he would send a letter to his churches, most of the church probably couldn't read that letter. There was probably one or two people who could read it, and they would take that letter and they would read it in public, read it to everyone else, and everybody would listen intently to the word, and then they would discuss it and they would talk about this. And we find out from early church tradition that not long after the New Testament was written, this practice of reading scripture and interpreting it could go on for hours and hours and hours, sometimes up to 6 or 8 hours. So if I preach a 25-minute message and you miss part of the Cowboys game, don't gripe about it. I didn't preach 6 hours, okay? Don't gripe about it. but they would read it in the church, discuss it in the church, apply it in the church. And so the New Testament is meant to be read in the church. Also, if we are reading and learning with other Christians, it guards against misinterpretation. I've got the worst news you've ever heard. All right? You don't know it all. I don't know it all. None of us know it all. And we should be reading Scripture on our own. We should be having that private Bible study. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But let's just be honest. We all have biases. We all have mistakes. We can never read everything correctly. And sometimes I will read Scripture, and instead of allowing Scripture to shape me, I will shape Scripture. I will make Scripture say what I want it to say. But if I am reading Scripture with other Christians and my interpretation is being balanced by other Christians, that helps guard against misinterpretation. And so we need to be learning the Scriptures with other Christians. So here is my challenge to you this morning. If we want to be dedicated to the practice of learning, here's my challenge. I want you to get involved in a Sunday school class. I want you to get involved with the Sunday school class. Now, there are several people here who are involved in Sunday school class, and that's great. If you aren't, I encourage you to find a Sunday school class. It is great to read the Bible on your own, and we should be doing that. I try to read the Scriptures every single day on my own. I encourage you to do the same. Now, also, it's important to come together and to listen to preaching. I'm glad you do that because I like to preach, all right? And so I'm glad you come, and I'm glad you're listening to preaching, but I'm here to tell you, learning and discussing the Bible with a group of other Christians, that's going to enhance your learning beyond anything you've ever known. Because that's the way that Scripture is meant to be read. So keep reading your Bible on your own. Keep coming to Sunday service and listening to sermons. Listen to sermons throughout the week. Read books about the Bible. But I encourage you, I challenge you, get involved in a Sunday school class, and you will change the way you've ever read Scripture. You know, we have four different adult Sunday school classes. We have classes for all ages of children. We have a youth class. And so there's an opportunity for everyone in your family to get involved in the study of Scripture. So find a Sunday school class and learn with other Christians. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says this, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." What we find happening in the book of Acts is that as the church lived out the apostles' teachings, they were given opportunities to witness and share about Jesus to other people. And this leads to our next practice. We need to be dedicated to the practice of going. Turn back a chapter with me. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking and he says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I love this statement because Jesus made this statement to correct a misunderstanding that his apostles had about following Jesus. They thought that if they followed Jesus, they were going to be given a special authoritative power. They thought they were going to have political power. They thought they were going to get to rule over other people because they had followed Jesus. But Jesus corrects that misunderstanding and Jesus says, "Listen, following me is not about getting your own power. Instead, you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and be my witnesses, to tell other people about me. You're going to do this in Jerusalem. You're going to do this in Judea. You're going to do this in Samaria. You're going to do this to the ends of the earth." Being a Christian is not about having power over other people. It's about having the power to share about who Jesus is. And Jesus said their witness, their mission was to go out and to be witnesses. And this is what we see happening all throughout the book of Acts. The church is constantly going in mission, going in witness, going out to to share the gospel. And we see three things happening in Acts. First of all, churches are witnessing within their local communities. Notice that Jesus told them, start with Jerusalem. This is where you are. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So they are witnessing in their local communities. He then tells them, but don't stop there. Go out and witness in your surrounding regions. That would be Judea and Samaria. They are ever widening that influence. And then Jesus goes on and say, but don't stop there. Keep going. Go to the ends of the earth. Be witnesses to all nations. And we see that at the end of the book of Acts, the church has made it all the way to the nation of Rome, thousands of miles from the city of Jerusalem. In a span of 30 years, in a non-scientific, non-technological culture, the gospel had spread across the entire Roman Empire. That was how seriously they took this call to go out and to share the gospel. So this is exactly what we see churches in the rest of Acts doing. Now, they faced some challenges. At first, the church was just flat unwilling to do this. They didn't want to leave Jerusalem. They were Jews. They didn't want to talk to Gentiles. They didn't want to do that. And so God blessed them with something called persecution. And God gave them persecution, and it forced them out of the city of Jerusalem. It forced them out of their comfort zone so that they would go and share the gospel. So there was unwillingness. At times there was racial prejudice. At times there was persecution that tried to stomp out the gospel. But here's one of the major themes we see happening in the book of Acts. No matter what problem the gospel came up against, the gospel overcame it. The gospel destroyed it. The gospel knocked it down. And guys, it still does that in our world today. Wherever the gospel goes, it overcomes challenges. One of the fastest growing churches in the world right now is the church in Iran. Can you imagine that? In Iran, in 1979, there were 220 Christians in Iran. In 2019, there are 800,000 Christians in Iran. In a fundamental Muslim country where persecution constantly tries to stamp out the gospel, it is growing. The church is growing faster in Latin America, Africa, in Asia, where persecution is real, than it has ever grown here in America. Because the gospel overcomes all challenges. May we learn from our brothers and sisters in the developing world. Now, it's precisely because of this threefold model of serving locally, regionally, and internationally. That's precisely the model we follow here at Hagerman. It's precisely for that reason that we minister to our local community when we go out to the Locust Volunteer Fire Department and we spread the gospel and we have events and we pass out New Testaments. That's why we do this, because we are meant to minister within our own Jerusalem, within our own community. That's why we do that. It's precisely because we are meant to minister in the surrounding region that the youth group this summer is going to be going to Little Rock, Arkansas, and they're going to be working with world changers, and they're going to be doing missions, not just building projects, but actually sharing the gospel as well. They're going to be doing all of that because we are meant to support the gospel in surrounding regions. And it's precisely because we are meant to go to the ends of the earth that we went to South Asia last summer. Now, it makes no sense that a small church in North Texas would send people on an 18-hour plane ride to go and share the gospel in South Asia. It makes no logical sense, but it makes gospel sense. And it makes New Testament sense. And that is what God has called us to do. And so that's what we went and did. I believe we are not truly being the church of Jesus Christ unless we're going out and sharing the gospel. That is what we are called to do. So here is my challenge for you this morning. At first, when I offer this challenge, you might go, well, that's not really that big a deal. I challenge you to pray the Luke 10:2 prayer. Turn with me to Luke 10:2. Luke 10:2. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is getting ready to send out his followers to go and share his mission. He says this in Luke 10:2. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus is speaking there about the urgency of sharing the gospel. The harvest is plentiful. We all know people who do not know Jesus. We all have people in our family, people in our workplaces. Guys, there are something like 2.8 billion people in the world who have no access to the gospel. None. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There aren't enough people going out and sharing. There aren't enough people going out on mission. There aren't enough people reaching outside of these four walls to tell people about Jesus. And so Jesus says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into the harvest. So here's my challenge. I want each of us every single day to say, Lord, send workers into your harvest. Will you pray the Luke 10:2 prayer every day? Here's the challenging part. Here's what I want you to recognize. You are the answer to that prayer. You are the answer to that prayer. When you pray, Lord, send workers into the harvest, the Lord is looking right back at all of us and he's saying, you are the worker. Go. Go to your family. Go to people in your work. Go overseas and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, there might be people here today and you might be thinking of someone who lives across the street from you that needs the gospel. Will you go to that person? There might be somebody in this building today and God is challenging you right now to pick up your family and to move overseas into a different context and share the gospel. He may be calling you to do that. Missionaries don't come out of nowhere. They come from churches. And so is God calling you to go and share the gospel? Let's pray that prayer every day. Lord, send your workers into the harvest. And then let's recognize that we are the answer to that prayer. Hagerman, our purpose is to know Jesus and to make him known. And we're going to do that by praying, by giving, by learning, and by going. This is who we are meant to be. This is what God is calling us to do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? We're just going to have a time of response for us to reflect upon what we've heard. And I first want to bring up that challenge that I made at the very beginning. Will you get involved in a Sunday school class? If you are not currently involved in a Sunday school class, will you get involved in a Sunday school class? Will you be dedicated to the practice of learning with other Christians? And you know what? You can read the Bible. You can be a good, godly person without coming to Sunday school. But this is the specific challenge that I want us to focus on. If we are called to be dedicated to the apostles' teachings, and if the best way to do that is by reading Scripture with other people, what is keeping us from getting involved in a Sunday school class? What is keeping us from getting involved in reading the Bible with other Christians? So will you get involved in a Sunday school class? And then I want you to do something right now that is incredibly dangerous. I want all of us right now to pray the Luke 10:2 prayer. Lord, send workers into your harvest. Send workers into your harvest. Lord, send me into your harvest. Send me to my neighbor that needs you. Send me to my coworker that needs you. God, send me to South Asia. Those people need you. Let the Holy Spirit truly work in your life. And listen to his voice. Who is he calling you to share the gospel with your words, with your actions, through taking them a Bible? How can we pray that Luke 10:2 prayer and then live it out? And again, I challenge you, pray that prayer daily. Lord, send your workers into the harvest. I've been speaking with our ministry partners in South Asia, and they've asked for us to pray for something, and so I think that's something I would like us to do right now. I spoke with one of our ministry partners, and he says they are trying to get a revival organized in their city. Now, this is a city of 1 million people. It's a city with 83 Christians. 83 Christians in a city of 1 million. They are seeking to hold a very public revival, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, seeking to bring churches together, seeking to do evangelism. And so let's pray for that effort right now. Let's pray that the church in this South Asian country would be strongly united, that it would be strengthened in its faith. Let's pray for their safety. This is not a particularly safe thing they're doing. So let's pray for their safety. Let's pray that there would be more than 83 Christians after this. Let's pray for revival to break out in this South Asian nation. church, let's pray that revival would break out where we are. That we would be people dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That through our learning of the scriptures, through our sharing of the gospel, that we would be more in love with who Jesus is, and that others would be attracted to that and come and know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Listen, if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus Christ, if you have a prayer request that needs to be prayed over, man, remember to take one of those cards in your pew. Fill that out. Drop that in the offering plate in a moment. I want to meet with you this week. I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. I want to guide your discussion and talk to you about what all those issues mean. And so if you have a decision that needs to be made, if you have a prayer request that needs to be given, man, I encourage you to reach out and let us know about that. There may be other decisions. Maybe you want to come forward right now and say, man, I'm making a decision to follow Jesus, and I want to let this entire church know. Then do that. Maybe you want to come and join the church. Maybe you want to come and be baptized. Maybe you just want to come to the front and pray, you know what, Neil, I think God is calling me to a new ministry. He's calling me to go on mission, and I want to pray with you about that. Man, I'm here at the front, and I want to do that with you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And let's just let God's Spirit work. If you need to come right now, you go ahead and come.